And welcome back to Unsighted, the internet's least reliable English lit podcast. I'm Chantel.
And I'm Amy.
And Amy has brought me something. I don't know what it is. It's a game of some sort?
Neither does Amy.
Amy, please tell me that you know how to steer this boat.
Oh.
Because I have massive control issues that I have handed over the wheel to you.
So, do you remember when we were in university and I was like, we're going to this restaurant, and then we went to this restaurant and it was amazing and it was great. And then I had to get us home. And then we found a store that was just called Drugs in Big Block Red Letters.
Yes.
Okay, so it's kind of going to be like that. It's going to be an adventure.
Okay.
Amy got influenza, which is super fun. Again.
Devastating.
Actually, I have a clean language with Amy for that.
I have clean language too. But first, I have a peer review. A single peer review from two people.
Okay, so a peer review, and then we're going to go to clean language, Amy, and then clean language, Chantel, and then fun adventure.
Okay, I'm so nervous about what's happening right now. I trust you. I trust you.
Don't have
a choice. If I keep saying it, do we trust you? Yeah.
Does it help or hinder if I tell you it's a fever idea?
It's like a mantra that I'm just going to keep saying. I'm not listening to what you're saying right now. I trust you.
Okay,
so the first peer review is from Ben from Words About Books. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
So
I was almost called Ben.
Who?
Me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are sick.
My grandfather is called Ben, and he died 30 years ago on the 13th.
Jesus. So hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
So in the Things Fall Apart episode, I had mentioned that if you're doing punk right, you're not a Nazi, which I think is true, but I was editing it and I was like, am I doing the no true Scotsman fallacy?
Uh-huh.
Because I think there are maybe punk Nazis. And Ben kindly confirmed for me that there are in fact punk Nazis. Nazi punks were absolutely a thing. There was a whole subculture of hatecore music, which is a terrible term. It started in Britain and it was getting traction in the US by the 80s, before our time.
Clearly.
Even into the early 2000s, still a little bit before our time. I remember finding out that a girl who went to my high school, who I thought was cool, was listening to The Angry Aryans.
Jesus Christ.
We stopped talking. There was a lot of backlash to it, fortunately. People who still have battle vests will have a swastika in a red circle with a line through it, patch from time to time. There were full-blown fist fights if Nazi punks tried to show up to non-Nazi shows. And he sent a song from the Dead Kennedys called Nazi Punks Fuck Off.
Okay, so I think what we have to understand here is that Nazis tried to be punk, but we're not allowing them to be punk. And that's what we need to take away here.
Yeah. My shout out is to all the cool punks who have maintained the punk scene since then, because
the real punks,
the legit punks,
the punks that show up for protests, not for hate crimes,
who are so punk that they didn't allow hate at their shows to the point where I wasn't quite sure if it was a thing for Nazi punks to exist. I went to a pop punk show on the weekend and it was such a safe space.
Yeah, I love punks.
That I went up to the front to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I left my drink at my seat and then I came back and drank from it.
Jesus Christ. That might not have been your smartest move in general, but I'll allow it because punks.
I feel like the people who are around my seat were safe. And if they saw someone go near that drink, then they would be like, hey, don't drink that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of space that punks cultivate. And I love that.
Good.
And shout out to them. We also got the exact same peer review from Jamie Anderson from Timeline Scavengers Frankenstein's Jukebox.
Hi, Jamie. It's really funny because Jamie and Amy kind of sound the same, which is what my name is. Amy, not Jamie. You are called Jamie. This is the funny bit I did with Ben, but with you now.
Listening to your Things Fall Apart and was reminded of this song, re Punks versus Skinhead Neo-Nazis, and she sent the exact same song, Nazi Punks Fuck Off by the Dead Kennedys. So, Chantel was wrong.
Well, I guess that's the thing, though. Wouldn't, like, Nazi punks just be skinheads, then?
I feel like yes.
I feel like that's what they have a different term.
They probably tried to be punk.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, do you know the no true Scotsman fallacy?
Yes.
Okay. If the listeners don't know the no true Scotsman fallacy, it's like when you just make a generalization about a group and then dismiss any outliers to the generalization. So the example that I found is, like, no Scotsman craftsman puts sugar in his porridge. But my friend Duncan likes sugar with his porridge. Yes, but no true Scotsman puts sugar in his porridge. We all know Duncan is the king of Scotland, so Duncan is the most true Scotsman.
I think, for the punks' sakes, we can give the punks their space and remove the Nazis from it as like an executive decision. On our behalf.
I mean, it's not, we're not doing that. The punks have proactively done that through fist fights.
The punks have done it, but I think it's time for us to, like, you know, put our fist down, so to speak, and say, like, this is categorically, you can't be a punk if you are a Nazi, because that's, like, discongruent. It's like, you can't be a square if you're a rectangle, or whatever that rule is.
You can't.
Because all squares are rectangles or all rectangles are squares.
I feel like that's a bad example because there is overlap in those two groups. It would be more like you can't be a square if you're a circle.
Okay.
So thank you, Jamie, and thank you, Ben. And also shout out to Ben's mom, who is one of our newest listeners.
Hi, Ben's mom.
We're very excited to have you here.
I was also almost called Ben.
So good choice in child naming.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a family name. Is it a family name for you? Write in. Ask Ben how to.
So yeah, that was my peer review. I guess we can jump right into a clean language. A segment that we've always had forever.
Yeah.
If you think that we haven't always done this, you're probably imagining things.
So this is a very niche, and I mean niche, clean language. So this is, in my adult life, fourth time of getting influenza. Influenza gets its dirty little hands on me and holds on fucking tight. I've been sick for, checks notes, 9 days.
9 days.
9 days. I'm fucking annoyed. So, influenza. I have it. Again. The first time I got into my adult life, I was during my undergrad. And I had a fever of 104. So I went to the emergency room where they tested me for the influenzas. And then they gave me this cool antiviral called Tamiflu. And then I was only sick for 3 days. It was magical. I was able to go do my exams and not be sick and not cough for ages. It was beautiful. It was the most magical thing that's happened to me in modern medicine. That's not true, but it felt like it at the time. So this time around, I get sick. I take a plethora of COVID tests. It's not COVID. And then I'm like, well, shit. Like, do I call my doctor to see if I can get a prescription for Tamiflu? I don't. And then it's too late because you need to take it within 1 to 2 days of your symptoms onset.
Oh, no.
And then on day 8, yesterday, of me being sick, I Google how to get Tamiflu, province I live in. You can get it from the fucking pharmacy.
Oh, yo, dude.
You can get it over the counter in the province I live in.
Bruh, you missed out.
So I could have just called the pharmacist and been like, hey, bruh, I don't have COVID. Can you please give me that sweet, sweet Tamiflu? Because I have asthma and I am high risk because of said asthma.
Uh-huh.
But no, instead I'm on checks notes day 9. So this is all to say that if you too catch influenza and have the means to, get yourself some Tamiflu. It's an antiviral. It works like a charm. And that's what you missed on Clean Language with Amy.
Okay. All right. Okay. No, I need to. So that's a clean language because you're cleaning your immune system? Explain.
So germs are dirty.
Okay.
Germs cause influenza. Not causing influenza would be having to kill the virus. The virus is a germ.
Okay, I'm on board.
People will be mad at me about that, but let's like generalize here. Again, there are no Nazi punks. So that's how it's clean language, because if I had done the clean thing to take Tamiflu, I wouldn't be running out of breath.
That's rough, buddy.
Mm-hmm. So that's why today we're going to have a fun episode, because I'm still sick.
Okay, so my clean language is, I was on the phone with my mom while I was making dinner. I was making an Alfredo.
There's your problem. Alfredos are yuck.
If you want my Alfredo recipe, holy shit, y'all. I could eat this every day. Send us a message at UnsaidUpon. However, I was on the phone when I was... You don't like Alfredo?
No.
You might like my Alfredo.
Okay, I hate classical jarred Alfredo. Let's be real.
Oh, yeah, no. Dude, no.
Why does it taste like feet?
Yeah, no. It needs more lemon in it.
And no, it just needs to not have that texture, flavor profile, or appearance.
So, okay, I was on the phone with my mom. I was on a video call. Part of the recipe is that you need to simmer onions and garlic in like a broth. So I use Better Than Bouillon. I got the like garlic
one. So doesn't forget you're also French Canadian and then you say Better Than Bouillon.
But how else would you say that word?
Bouillon?
Oh, fuck off, Nazi punks. So I use better than bouillon. So I was trying to open this jar and Ethan wasn't home. And usually when I can't open a jar, we just pass it back and forth, alternately trying to open the jar until one of us can get it. But it was just me. So I was like struggling, hashtag struggling. And I was trying to talk to my mom. And she's like, okay, take a knife and like hold it in your hand and tap on the side of the lid of the jar in the direction that it would open and then try to open it. And she watched me try to hold the knife. She's like, what are you doing? And then she redirected me on how to hold the knife. I can post a picture of how to hold the knife if you want.
Yeah, correct. I've seen Shanta hold the knife. It's rough.
No, this is a separate holding of the knife. This is, you have to use the like hilt of the knife.
Oh yeah, you fucked that up. Keep going.
You have to hit it with the hilt of the knife, like a butter knife. Don't try to do this with a steak knife or something. And then just kind of tap, 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 like reasonably hard on the side, like all around the jar in the direction that you would open it. So lefty loosey. And then I just opened. It just opened so easy. And I was like, why has no one told me this? They've been selling us jar openers when you could just hit it with a butter knife? That's so offensive to me. So yeah, that's my clean language housekeeping tip is if okay. you need to open a jar, just hit it with the hilt of a butter knife.
So I learned to hit it against the counter, which is dangerous.
Don't do that.
Because the jar can explode. This is a fun fact. If you don't want to keep the jar though.
Uh-huh.
You can also, you know those like can opening things? They often have like a pointy end.
Yeah.
If you don't plan on having to close this jar again and your method doesn't work, you just make a hole into the top of the jar lid.
Because the problem is the air tightness, right?
Yeah, it's the seal. You're breaking the seal.
Yeah. I've had really bad luck with glass and that's why I don't mess with jars.
Fair. That was a great clean language. I feel like people are so clean now.
We're squeaky. We're squeaky clean.
Squeaky clean.
Okay, what's your game that you have for us?
Okay, so have you seen Game Changer?
Yes. Of course.
Okay. For people who don't know, it's a Dropout TV series that parodies a lot of like different game shows, but also makes up their own games. And the person who's playing the game doesn't know the game.
Okay. Are we allowed to do this?
I don't know. Sam Rice, you have a problem? We're not monetizing this.
Okay.
I've been here the whole time. Seriously though, Sam, friend, I watched you while I had fever influenza. I think you can let me slide this. Just give it to me. We make no money from this. So we're going to call this books.
Book changers.
We're going to call this book changers. I'm going to give you a thing and then okay. you're going to have to do a thing.
Okay. First off, I would like to compliment you on the thoroughness of your instructions for this game. I know exactly what I'm doing going into this now, and I appreciate that deeply.
So this is how it differs from Game Changers. Sam Reich, in theory, knows what's going on. I, right now, don't.
So it's copyright safe because no one knows what's happening.
I've been here the whole time.
I'm so concerned. All right, hit me with it.
Okay. And because we don't have a cast of writers for this, because it's me, Chantel, and free recording software, I'm using ChatGPT.
Oh, I love ChatGPT. Our best friend ChatGPT. Hey, go listen to our English Major Gets Pranked episode where we talk more about ChatGPT.
Yeah.
In an unknown, unspecified context.
Okay. So, Chantel.
Yes, Amy.
This one's going to be easy, but at some point in time, they're going to be harder.
Okay. All right.
A web of intrigue in an ancient world. A wizard's tournament. A deadly spree. Darkness lurking. Can you name me?
What? Is this a riddle? Are we doing riddles?
I've been here the whole time.
What is happening? All right, say it again.
A web of intrigue in an ancient world.
Okay.
A wizard's tournament, a deadly spree, darkness lurking. Can you name me?
Okay, a wizard's tournament makes me think of Harry Potter, like the Triwizard Cup. And a web makes me think of Aragog. Are you trying to get me to guess books? And is this the Harry Potter series?
Okay, so I am trying to make you guess books, but there's a separate component to this.
Okay.
So I want to know the name of the book that I'm telling you to guess through this riddle that ChatGPT has so cleverly devised for me.
All right.
And also the year it was published without you looking.
Oh my god. Why?
Well, because ChatGPT didn't want to give me excerpts of books for me to just read off to you like a side passage, so I had to get creative.
It's not Harry Potter?
No, it is.
Oh, it is.
Just which book and what year.
Oh my god, what's the fourth one called? It's my favorite movie of the movies. It could be Chamber of Secrets, because that's the one with spiders. I don't think it's that one, though, because of the tournament thing. Then there's Prisoner of Azkaban. Then there's... Is it Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire?
Yes.
Okay, rad.
Yes, it is.
I remember that I read the fifth Harry Potter book, Order of the Phoenix, by myself. It was the first one I read by myself because before that I read them all out loud with my mom. We took turns reading chapter and chapter. And the fifth one I read ahead while she was sleeping while we were on a family vacation. And the only family vacation that we took when I was a child was to Montreal when I was in grade 4, I think. It could have been the summer before or after grade 4. So I think that Order of the Phoenix came out around 2004. So I think Goblet of Fire would have come out around 2003. Am I close?
2000.
2000?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we have that one in paperback. So they would have been out for a while by the time we got it. That makes sense.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Babe, I'm so ready for the next one.
Okay. Also, ChatGPT is not good at this game because it keeps giving me things that I don't want them to be. It's not understanding me very well, so I'm having to do extra work.
Is it too obvious?
No. Yes. But also, it's just giving me, like, wrong answers, so I have to, like, double-check my answers. It's fine. It's fun.
Okay.
Okay. A dystopian world devoid of light. Double think, new speak, a party unseen, a protagonist...
This is 1984 by George Orwell.
Okay, what year?
1948, because they published it and they had swapped the digits of the number. No? 1949, because he wrote it in 1948 and he published it the next year.
Correct.
Fuck yeah. Ugh. Do you know what? I'm absolutely kind of crushing it. Am I better than everybody?
You're getting there.
That was a good one. That was a really good... I'm sorry. Do you want to read the rest of your riddle so that I'm not interrupting it?
No, that was all it was.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah, doublethink is the thing that I reference when I talk about 1984. And the thing that most people reference is the surveillance. But I think doublethink is like a much larger part of the plot than the people who haven't read it give it credit for.
It'd be very funny if I had read it. Okay. With guitars strumming and hearts to win, a hero's journey through levels of sin. A band, a girl, and foes to outwit.
Is this Dante's Inferno?
No.
No, it's not. Okay, so we got a guitar. We got levels of... Sorry, what are the levels of?
A hero's journey through levels of sin.
Levels of sin, okay.
A band, a girl, and foes to outwit.
Band, a girl... And foes to it. It's actually Band Slam. It's the movie Band Slam with Vanessa Hudgens.
No.
Okay, no. For real, for real, for real.
For
okay.
Real.
Guitars, levels of sin. Levels of sin really makes me think Inferno. So I feel like it's something that's an Inferno allegory, maybe.
That's going to be so funny when you know what it is.
Your reaction is making me think not so. Whatever it is, I feel like we should do a comparative analysis of it and Inferno. We can have Ethan on because Inferno is one of his favorite books. Okay, no. Jesus Christ. Guitars and hearts to it. Is it something I've definitely read?
It's something you know about that you should be able to get this.
Okay, this is such a long shot. Is it If I Stay?
No.
Okay, because in If I Stay, she plays violin, her boyfriend plays guitar, and she is in the limbo afterlife kind of place.
Right. You're kind of like weirdly all over it, but also not at all, which is super funny.
I have no idea. If you tell me the author, is that absolutely giving it away?
Yeah, that's 100% giving it away.
Is it Nora Roberts?
No.
Okay, a guitar. I'm so thrown off by the guitar. It's a love story, levels of sin, and there's a guitar. There's not that many books with a guitar, Amy. Okay, can I ask you some this or that questions? Is it classic or contemporary?
Contemporary.
Contemporary. Is it a romance?
Yes.
Contemporary romance.
I really hope people are screaming at you through their headphones right now.
Is it, like, really obvious? Is it going to be so obvious when you tell me?
It's going to be fairly obvious, yes.
Is it Nicholas Sparks?
No. Would you like me to act it out, which is going to be very funny for you, but not funny for anyone else?
Oh, you act it out and I'll describe visually what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Okay, Amy is holding her hair at different levels.
That's your only clue.
And nothing else. That makes me more confused. I know less now than I did before. It's a romance. Is it actually about hair, the clue that you gave me?
The clue is about one of the main characters of the story.
Was it a choppy haircut? Is that the clue?
Is that the clue?
That's not a clue then.
Oh my God, it's such a clue. Anybody who knows what this is right now, which is like me.
What is it? I have no idea.
Do you want me to call in a friend? Do you want me to call in Sam? That can be your friend?
Yeah.
Let me go tell him what it is and then I'll come back and tell you if he's got it. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. Did he get it right away?
He got it right away.
Okay.
Scott Pilgrim.
Bro! Bro!
You gave
bro!
Her, do you know a girl with hair like this?
Yeah, and she was
she
like,
couldn't get it?
Yeah, and she was like, why are you giving me, like, a haircut? Why is a haircut important to the plot?
She grew up in Toronto. How did she not get it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She's you never got Scott Pilgrim until, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
She grew up in Toronto.
Yeah, I know.
I literally just watched that show.
And she literally just watched the show when I gave her
this. I just watched
this.
It. I'm so pissed. I'm
as
so mad.
As the only clue, she did get it.
What's that from? Which one?
I think it's from the first one. I know. I love you.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Re-fucking-diculous. I'm so pissed. Her hair isn't, like, asymmetrical, though.
Do you want me to pull up the book?
It's long at the front and it's short at the back.
Nope, I'm pulling up the book.
All right, pull up the book. I'm mad at you right now.
I know. Where's the party?
Symmetrical hair.
Yeah, but that's not what the...
It's not really a romance book. Is it a romance book? I would say it's like an action.
No, it's a romance.
I would say it's a coming of age.
I would say it's a romance.
I would say it's a combination genre.
See? He says, have you seen a girl with hair like this? His hands are not even.
They are. They're absolutely 100% even. I've never seen more even hands in my entire life.
Any hoodles? Next. Are you having fun?
No, I'm so upset. Hey, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing like Game Changers. Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Okay, I'm ready for the next one. I've centered myself. I've come back down. You know what? You know what? This is fine. I'm zen. This is a good game. You've made a good game for us here. It's fine. I'm fine.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
If you think I'm not, then it's your problem.
Okay, this one's a lone survivor, science explains, in isolation's grasp, he won't fall. Stranded in maroon, but not in despair, facing the elements with wit and care.
This could be literally any post-apocalyptic novel about one dude.
Yeah. You can't phone in a friend right away and you can't look it up.
I'm not phoning in a friend. I'm just looking at something.
Uh-huh.
Is it Why the Last Man?
No.
Okay.
Are you looking it up?
No, I'm not. I'm looking at movies that Will Smith has been in because I forget the name of the thing I want to guess.
Okay, Will Smith's not in this.
It's not I Am Legend?
It's not I Am Legend.
Okay, so it's a post-apocalyptic dystopian novel.
I guess. I don't know, actually.
About one single dude.
Kind of. What
the fuck does that mean?
A sole survivor.
Okay, it's a post-apocalyptic dystopian novel about one single person. One person.
I want to say no.
No, it's not about that. That's what it sounds like. I will tell you.
I want to say no.
I'll tell you that's what it sounds like it is. Okay. Contemporary or classic?
Contemporary.
Contemporary. It's not dystopian?
Not in like the sense that I think you're thinking about.
What does that mean?
Great question.
But there's one survivor.
That is what the riddle says. A lone survivor, science explains. In isolation's grasp, he won't fall. Stranded in maroon, but not in despair. Facing the elements with wit and care.
Okay, so the survivor's a dude.
Correct.
Okay.
That I can say yes.
Because you made it sound like no before. Okay, all right, okay. It's not Why the Last Man because there's not one survivor. There's just one dude. It's not I Am Legend.
It's not a dystopian novel, but it's like adjacent.
Is it sci-fi?
Yes, which to me is always dystopian because science freaks me out.
Is it Oryx and Crake?
No, nope. That's why I said it's not dystopian in the sense that you thought because I knew you would go to Oryx and Crake.
I'm trying to read your mind about what you're reading from my mind, and I'm evidently not successful, so.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not Born because that's about a woman, and there's two survivors, but it's sci-fi.
Correct.
All right, let me just run through the reel of sci-fi authors that I know really well. Is it Stephen King?
No.
Is it Michael Grant?
No.
Is it Margaret Atwood?
No.
Is it Orson Scott Card?
No.
Margaret Peterson Haddix?
No. Do you want to play like a 20 questions to get it?
I don't even know what I would ask. All right, let me think of some questions.
I hope this is entertaining for other people.
Is it a medical situation? Like, is the survivor a survivor of a medical pandemic type situation?
No.
Is it a war type situation?
No.
Is it an environmental catastrophe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Jesus. Okay, so it's a sci-fi, mm-hmm. but one survivor of an environmental catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is The Day After Tomorrow based on a book?
But I think so, yes.
Yes, but no. The one where Jake Gyllenhaal has to run from ice.
Yeah, it's based on the coming global superstorm.
Okay. No, listen.
Oh, I'm here. I'm having fun.
It's sort of an environmental catastrophe.
It is. Just not in the way you're currently thinking about.
Hot or cold? No is also an acceptable answer.
Theoretically cold. If cold is the absence of heat.
Storms?
Theoretically, yes. Depending on storms. Definitions.
What the fuck does that mean? Would Sam get it if you asked Sam?
Do you want me to try to ask Sam?
No, I don't want you phoning in your friends because I'm the one trying to answer. Can I phone in a friend?
Yeah.
Can you send it to me?
It's in our chat.
Thanks, babe.
But also I'm going to send it to Sam. He got it on the first try.
Is it the Martian?
Yes. How'd you get that?
Jamie.
Correct.
Final answer. So.
Final answer, the Martian.
Yes.
Do you know the year?
2011.
Yes.
Thanks. Oh, really? Yeah. That was a total shot in the dark. She also says this is basically blind date with a book. You know the concept of blind date with a book where they like wrap the book in brown paper and then write
the
thing?
Yeah, no. I've been here the whole time. I've been here the whole time.
Are those the rules? Is that what you wanted me to guess about it? That it's blind date with a book?
No.
Okay.
No. You are not guessing the game. We are just playing the game.
All right.
Again, I've been here the whole time.
Yes. Thank you, Jamie. So that was my phone and a friend with Jamie for the game. And then the other friend that I would normally phone in on stuff like this is you. So that's not very helpful.
No. Nope.
Ethan's working.
Okay. So our next clue is, in Mead's Hall, echoing with warrior's boast, a hero rises, the terror he'll accost. Grendel's bane, a geat renowned, his glory sung, victory's crowned.
Is this Beowulf?
Yes.
Yeah! Grendel gave it away, so. Okay, I want to say Beowulf is like 14th century.
I don't have it in front of me. Yeah, we're looking at the Cotton Vitellius A was published around the turn of the last millennium.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was the easiest one so far. Thank you for the softball. We're on a roll. Next one.
Okay, so we have children's fears brought to life. This tale of horror cuts like a knife. A cosmic dance, a turtle's lore. A shape-shifting monster, hunger galore. Paper boats, and a town to dread.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't read this, but I watched the movie, but I kind of think I remember that this is what Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children is about.
No.
No. Okay.
Well, like, yes, but it's not that.
It's a different book about the exact same thing. Children's horrors brought to life. Paper boat? I have no idea. Wait, is this Life of Pi?
No.
Okay. Paper boat is throwing me. I know what a paper town.
I know, but that's not what it is.
All right. Paper boat is throwing me off, man. Okay. I would like to phone in a 20 questions.
Okay.
Contemporary or classic?
What do you define as classic?
Classic is, I would say, like pre-50s or 40s.
I guess it's contemporary.
Okay. So it's like 60s, 70s, 80s then.
Sure.
Because if you were waffling on that, then yeah. So it's contemporary-ish?
Yeah, it's contemporary.
Can you tell me genre?
You can guess a genre.
I can guess a genre. Is it an adventure novel?
Kind of.
Is it middle grade / young adult?
I would say no.
Okay. It's an adult.
Yes. I would say firmly.
Adult sort of adventure.
Oh, well, adult. Yeah, I would say that its genre would categorize it in adult fiction.
Is it erotica? Like, why are you saying it like that?
It's not erotica. I don't think so.
Is it horror?
Yes.
Okay. It's an adult horror, but children's fears come to life. Paper boat. Is it It by Stephen King?
It is It. You didn't even need to phone in a friend.
I didn't. Okay. So here's the thing. I'm reading a Stephen King novel right now. I'm very excited about it. It's getting me back into reading because I tried to read a book for all of last year and did not successfully get through it. And now I'm reading 112263 and it's freaking amazing. But in it, he just shows up in this town and I haven't read it. I haven't read any Stephen King novels except Dreamcatcher. He shows up in this town and they're like, yeah, a bunch of kids got murdered. They think that the guy was dressed as a clown. I'm like, like, is this an It crossover? Yes.
Yes.
A lot of his novels are apparently set in Derry, which is the town where It happens. I was, gotta say, when I realized that it was going to be like Stephen King's greatest hits, I was pretty jazzed. We love an intertextuality, and we love when an author has the boldness to make the intertextuality themselves. Yeah, that was very exciting. Thank you. Oh, that was a good one.
Good.
That was a good one.
Okay. I have your final riddle. Are you ready for it?
I am ready for the... Oh, make it a really good one then.
It's... I hope it's a good one. If it's not, you'll get another one.
Okay.
Madness and fire, secrets untold, a marriage's echoes in the heat's stronghold, a name in the wind, a legacy's plea.
Contemporary?
Yes.
Fantasy?
No.
No, not fantasy. Regular no. Romance?
That's a stretch.
Not romance. Is it like a drama?
Yes.
Is it Little Fires Everywhere?
No.
Okay. Little Fires Everywhere would be a really good one for that. But there's fire in it.
Yeah.
Is there more to the riddle that you're not telling me because it gives too much away?
Yes.
Can you tell me the rest of the riddle?
No.
Okay.
Because the title is in the rest, so I cannot give it to you.
It's a contemporary drama.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, fantasy or magical realism elements?
Yes.
A name in the wind, a legacy's plea, a senseless riddle from ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cute, though.
Okay, I'm gonna ask some more questions about it.
Are you calling a 20 question?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're gonna get it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Have I definitely read it?
I have.
Well, thanks.
I think you have, but I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
Try again.
What do you mean, try again?
Ask some more questions. Try again.
It's Name of the Wind.
It's not. Also, I know that you know this book, so I'm not letting you give up. When you know what it is, you're going to, like, hate everything and everyone.
It's contemporary, so it's not Jane Eyre.
It's not Jane Eyre.
It feels like it should be Jane Eyre.
But it's not Jane Eyre.
Madness, fire, secrets untold, marriage's echoes, and a legacy should be Jane Eyre.
But it's not Jane Eyre.
I'm mad that it's not Jane Eyre. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to complain. I would like to phone in a complaint that it's not Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
Is it White Sargasso Sea?
Yes. Yes, it is White Sargasso
Sea. No, because it is Jane Eyre is the thing.
Well, you were like, I want it to be Jane Eyre. And I was like, uh-huh.
Surprise, it's just, it's the Jane Eyre backstory.
So the full thing.
Oh my God.
In the Caribbean's embrace, a tale begins, a prelude to madness where reality thins, islands of memory, a colonial plea, a protagonist haunted. Who could she be?
They say plea in the riddle twice.
Yeah.
Did they run out of words? What is probably the vocabulary on this ChatGPT fellow?
Not great. So, that's the game.
All right. I no longer would like to complain that it's not Jane Eyre because it is Jane Eyre. And that was a really good game. You know what, Amy? Never don't believe in yourself again.
Perfect. I was pumped for this the entire time. I made it up as I went. I think this is a good filler episode. And if someone says something otherwise, they can send in a peer review. Hi, Ben's mom. I hope you like this episode.
You know what? This would be a really good game for our 100th episode.
I am testing out some games for fun.
Here's a little teaser trailer. We're going to have our 100th episode this year, sometime in August, and we are going to be playing some games. And that's all I'm going to tell you about it. So get pumped, get jazzed. Also, thanks for coming with us on this journey. We started this. We didn't know what was going to happen. We just wanted to hang out with each other more, and we wanted to keep being almost as smart as we were when we were together in our undergrad. We didn't want to lose our analytical prowess, and obviously we have kept it sharpened like a frickin' knife. But yeah, thank you for joining us on this super fun journey. I love the community that we've built here. Thanks to you guys. I also have some plugs.
Like Febreze Plug It In?
Yes, exactly like that.
Actually, those are Glad. Glade? Is it Glad or Glade? I think it's Glade.
Glad is the garbage bags. And you know what? You talked about garbage bags for 1/10 of the runtime of our last episode.
No.
So I'm going to cut that short.
Okay, send me some plugs.
Okay, so Amy and I.
That's us.
And also just I were on Timeline Scavengers recently.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Recent to you, old to us.
Both the episodes that we were on have recently come out. So the one that both of us are on was published January 24th on Timeline Scavengers. It is 1992, January 15th, Black Panther. Amy and I talk about the scene in Black Panther where Eric finds his dad. It's very tragic. They love having us on to talk about tragic events. And then The other one was something that I recorded like way before that with them.
Alone.
Which is 1992, December 25th, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. And that was published February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day / Christmas.
Red like Valentine's.
And yeah, that was super fun. I'm really glad we got to do that. So please go listen. Yeah. They are really fun episodes.
If you liked this episode, you will love those episodes. Because Chantel also comes in kind of blind. So anyways, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Chantel, for being a willing participant. That's how it games.
That's how it games with Amy and Chantel. Yeah, no, Amy.
Book changers.
Okay. I was going to say you're really good at organizing games.
Thanks.
I might withdraw that praise.
I would have been a fantastic teacher.
You know what? You're all of our fantastic teacher.
I'm everyone's safe, trusted adult.
You are. So if you have more suggestions, feedback, peer reviews, clean languages, if you just want to hang out, if you just want to chat, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at UncitedPod. We hope to see you in 2 weeks.
And as always, we're excited, unavailable. It's fine. It'll be good for the pod. Not for you, but for the pod.
The people love it.
The people love it.